I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, over the weekend, got some surprising news, maybe not as surprising if you listened to the show Friday, and that was in regards to the Royals and their announcement that they're bringing back Michael Wacha on a new 3-year deal. We know he had an option to opt out if he wanted to, could get more money on the open market. When we had JJ Piccolo on weeks back, he was confident that they could get something done. That, hey, they knew Michael Wacha liked his time in Kansas City and that his family liked being in Kansas City. They felt confident. We played you the audio on Friday when George Brett was on the morning show with Fesco and Dusty. And George Brett then, that was on Friday, was like, I think he's coming back. Well, he knew something. and here we are, yesterday, the announcement that Michael Wacha is back on a 3-year, $51 million contract. Those numbers coming from Jeff Passan. The deal also includes another club option that could max out 4 years, $72 million.
With $1 million buyout to just say go away.
Here's where I'm at on the money real quick.
It's cheap.
They gave him an additional year that maybe another team wouldn't have to make him stay. Maybe that's true. But we had this very conversation a year ago when they handed out deals to Lugo and Wacha and like, oh, you know, in a year or so, that might be, you know, that may not look good. Doesn't matter. They both performed at a high enough level. You're on a team now that just made the postseason. You're building off of that. You saw what this team is capable of doing. I'm not worried about what the third year when he's making, $18 million or whatever in the third year
sure.
is going to be. I'm not concerned about that. This was about making sure that this rotation stays strong heading into next season, and it gives you some flexibility with what you can do with the rest. Because now you know that you have Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, and Michael Wacha, 1, 2, 3, and as that for now, Brady Singer, 4. Okay, I feel pretty good about that again.
I mean, that worked last time.
It did, and even if you think there's regression coming, and there's, I think, a conversation to be had that there will be a little regression, perhaps, from Lugo or Wacha, although I think Wacha has kind of shown us we know what he is. Then you're looking at your fifth spot as multiple options now. Like, you're not trying to have you're not trying to figure out a fourth and a fifth. You're trying to figure out just your fifth starter, and you've got some candidates. Do you have
Bubich and Marsh and a million others?
Yeah, there's Lynch. A lot of options there. So I'm thrilled Michael Wacha is back.
I actually think that the thing I like about this is that it strengthens the bullpen for all the names we just mentioned. Daniel Lynch really worked well in the bullpen. Chris Bubich really worked well in the bullpen. From a financial end, it's pretty much peanuts. It doesn't even make him a top 50 paid pitcher, starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, right? I mean, $14 million a year by baseball standards is nothing. That's what they were paying Gilmesh 20 years ago. So yeah, the number itself, the only question I was have is, does Michael Wacha have 3 middle rotation years left in the arm, right?
That's what I told you. We had this conversation. Does he have 2 left? There was a lot of people when they signed him last year that said, oh, in year 2, you may not want to be paying him $16 million or whatever because he's going to be getting old. And now we were all dying for him to come back. So I get that he'll be obviously 3 years older in 3 years. But that year, I'm willing to stomach what that might look like in 2 years, Cody, or 3 years, because of what I just saw him do last year and because of where this organization is at.
Michael Wacha had 3 bad years in the middle of his run from 27 to 29, typically when starters are kind of dominating. He had a 4.76 ERA when he made 29 starts for St. Louis in his final year there. Rough year. He then got hurt, only pitched 7 starts and had a 6.5 ERA. He came back the year after injury and had a 5-point ERA. In the 3 years since, at age 30, 31, and 32, he has posted nearly identical numbers in each of those 3 years for 3 different major league teams. Boston, the Padres, and the Royals. 3.32, 3.22, 3.35 ERA, 23, 24, 27 starts, 102. I mean, they're identical.
You know what you're getting.
Identical. He is a middle-of-the-road starter. I will pay for a middle-of-the-road starter. Because they know. I think what people are missing in this is the Reagans, Lugo, Singer, Wacha thing, you're right. The reason why it's important that the Royals do that to maintain their winning is they know, and you and I know, they need 2 to 3 years to buy their time to have their pitching development so that they can replace these guys.
Yep.
The system isn't there yet. The reason why they're paying this price is because the system is not capable a backfilling a Michael Wacha yet. They got to buy themselves a few years. That's what they did. They got maybe 2 years on Lugo if he picks up his option. 3 years on Waka. They've got Cole Reagan's under control for another four. Now, there's some arbitration here, but under control for another four. Brady Singer's got 2-3 years left of control. He's arbitration. Same thing. They could technically just keep the whole rotation together for years and buy themselves time to turn into the Rays of pitching development. They need time to do that.
And the other thing is, we know they were really healthy in the rotation a year ago. Not something that usually is going to happen consistently. Waka, actually, ironically enough, was the only starter, right? Like out of the 1-2-3 yeah. who we're talking about, that actually ended up on IL for a little bit last year. Brief stint. But Michael Waka
still made 29 starts.
And still made 29 starts. What I bring randomly. Up the health for one reason, that there's also a good chance next year that you don't stay as healthy in the rotation as you did a year ago. And so by bringing back Waka, it means that you mentioned depth. It means that you're not trying to potentially fill two spots. If one guy goes down, then you're talking about the grouping of, Bubic, Wright, or Lynch, or if there's another veteran they go out and sign, or whoever, right? It's easier to cover for an injury than if all of a sudden you didn't bring back Waka, Singer's your three, then you're needing Kyle Wright to be your four or five, or Bubic, they could go
or
out.
Or a different free agent.
Yeah, so this just gives them some more depth. Not only does it make 1-4 better, assuming Brady Singer, and we'll talk about him later, is still on this team, I think it does give them some options now with Brady Singer by making sure Walker's back. They have some flexibility with what they can do if the right situation were to arise in the offseason.
This is where it's hard. Like, if you're a Royals fan, how could you complain about this? The Royals, for an entire calendar year, had a top three rotation in all of baseball, and all they did was bring them all back. Like, that's rare in baseball. Typically, someone's got to go. Now, look, again, we can get back to Singer in a minute. Maybe something changes, but Lugo's back, Reagan's back, currently Singer's on. Like, they're all back. Waka was the guy who is kind of that weird keystone piece where he's not the best starter.
No, but he was their. You know what though? Post All-Star break, he was their best starter. Post All-Star break,
he's not. He was never over a calendar year. Whatever. He's never like. But he is solid as a rock. Something you just have to have in every qualified major league rotation. That's going to be there. So immediately, I just assume that this is what the rotation is going into next year. Well, it's a playoff team. Like, I mean, even if some of them underperform a little gold, they're not all going to fall off the map. And then all they need is, I don't know, the bullpen to be a little bit better or the offense to be a little bit better to cover the gap for the rotation being slightly worse. That's it. That's all we're talking about. And when you add back in these pieces, the bullpen is strengthened because then you can just, I'll be honest, at this point, I'd borderline, I don't care which one, Bubic or Daniel Lynch should be full-time bullpen arms from the start of day one. Weaponize them from day one as maybe high-level, high-leverage bullpen arms. Because they were that for this team in the middle of a playoff hunt, and they continued to, not during the playoffs, they weren't that during the playoffs, but I didn't think they wanted to toss them or throw them to the Wolves in that situation versus rely on the two or three guys that had gotten them there.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. He's actually listening to the press conference or at the press conference right now. Michael Waka talking to some of the media about signing this 3-year deal with Kansas City. I saw John Morosi, who was on MLB Hot Stove over the weekend as well. He said, quote, "I'm not sure how many teams can look at their rotation and have three better pitchers than what the Royals have. Some very good building blocks." That was his reaction to Michael Waka coming back on a 3-year deal. And as we mentioned when we had J.J. Piccola on the show a couple weeks ago, this was their top priority in the offseason. And they went out, they felt confident they could get it done, and they did. Like that, I think that once again says a lot about this current front office, says a lot about John Sherman willing to go to that. Now, does it mean that they're going to still spend a bunch of money the rest of the offseason? I have no idea. They also have some guys that are getting automatic raises as well. But Michael Waka, it clearly wasn't, you know, just something he was saying to the media at the end of the season. Him and his family clearly liked their time in Kansas City. We say that all the time. We're obviously biased. We both grew up here. But, man, there's so many. I don't care if it's the NFL or baseball.
Borderline
so,
a record number of athletes who say that.
If you have a family, I think the key part, too, like if you have kids and a family.
And you're like a normal person, right? You don't want the attention. You're just like kind of a run-of-the-mill dude. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
you're not looking for the limelight in L.A. You're just like a regular dude.
I mean, we can give so many examples of guys that are not from here that signed a contract with the Royals or Chiefs at some point in their career that – have, you know, either had their kids while they were here or already had kids and moved here. And they're like, wow, this is like, I can give you a recent Drew Tranquil, same deal. Mm-hmm. Linebacker for the Chiefs. He loves Kansas City. Him and his wife love Kansas City. They're not from here. Obviously was in LA before. I think Michael Wacha fits. There's countless examples of players that, you know, are pleasantly surprised with Kansas City, and everybody agrees it's a great place to raise your family. And Michael Wacha obviously feels the same. Not to mention, the money doesn't hurt. He's getting a little more money, too, than what he was scheduled to get on the initial option.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.